I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Mark Gonsalves knows what it means to be free. That's because he knows what it means to lose your freedom. He was a civilian contractor for the U.S. military. 6 years ago, he and two colleagues were flying a drug surveillance mission over Colombia when they crash-landed in the jungle. Guerrillas from the rebel group the FARC found them, kidnapped them, and held them for 5.5 years. Mark Gonsalves, Keith Stanzel, and Tom Howes have written a book about their ordeal. In Out of Captivity, Gonsalves explains that when you're a hostage, your world suddenly shrinks.
Once you finally get to the point where you accept what is happening to you, because that's a process in itself to actually realize that what is happening is reality and you are lost your freedom and you're being held by terrorists. Once you get beyond that point, your world shrinks to nothing more than a bubble that's barely encompasses your body. So it's a very small world where you think of what you're going to do after you eat your ration of breakfast, if you're going to do push-ups or if you're going to exercise or if you're going to just look at the sky, if you can see it through the cracks in the canopy of the trees.
That's when things were up to you, when you actually could dictate what you're going to be doing. But most of the time, that wasn't the case.
No. You always maintain a certain level of freedom, even if you're a hostage. You're mentally, you are still free. So you're able to control your thoughts and your beliefs, even if the guerrilla would try to influence that. And that was one of the things that we would struggle to do.
You really reached the depths mentally during part of this crisis, understandably, when you were held captive. Do you remember what took you so low and what helped you out of it?
My lowest point was after I had a dream one night, and I dreamt that I was with my daughter, who was only 9 years old when I crashed in the jungle.
Her name is Destiny.
Destiny, yes. And I had her with me in that dream, and she was sitting on my lap, and she had all these little tiny braids in her hair, and I could smell the shampoo in her hair. And it was so real. My two stepsons were there. My family was there. And then all of a sudden, I woke up, and I found myself locked in a box, as we were each in individual boxes.
How big were the boxes? And
they were about 6 by 6 cubes, 6 feet by 6 feet, if that, maybe 5.5, maybe a little less. They were just big enough for you to stand up inside and lay inside.
Like a cage.
Like a cage, but made out of solid wood planks. And when I came out of there that morning, and I was supposed to go and receive my ration of breakfast, I was just unable to do it. My head was so heavy. My shoulders didn't have any strength to support my head that my chin was just stuck to my chest. And at that time, we weren't allowed to speak to each other, Keith, Tom, and I. But Keith and Tom saw this state I was in. It must have been just black energy emanating from me. And they broke this rule that the guerrilla had imposed on us. And they came to me, both of them, at the same time. And they just gave me a hug. It was a three-man hug right there. And as soon as they did that, it was like somebody had opened a faucet and I started to cry and I couldn't stop for quite a while. But after I did stop, you know, I looked at Keith and Tom and I was just thankful that Keith and Tom were with me.
Well, I don't want to dwell on it, but we should say that you were beaten on more than one occasion. You were chained.
There were times we were blindfolded and then there were times when we were chained. The last, I would say, year and a half, we were chained 24 hours a day. They would put big, heavy gauge chains around our necks, and they would close the loop with a big, thick, heavy Chinese-made padlock. And they would chain the end of my chain to Keith's chain. They were able to disconnect us by unlocking the chain in the middle. So we were still always having that chain around our neck, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm articulating it clear enough.
Yeah, it creates quite an image. And after 1,967 days of minimal amount of support and food, the day of the rescue, what happened on that particular day?
That day was amazing. That morning, we heard the sound of helicopters approaching. And I remember looking up, and I could see now these two helicopters. I could see them clearly. They were big, painted white and orange, and they were flying one behind the other. They walked us up to a field, and one of those helicopters came in and landed right there. And I watched as that clamshell door opened, and a group of humanitarian aid workers, so I thought, came out. And I thought that this might finally be the moment where the FARC are going to release us. But then I noticed as we were approaching the helicopters that those aid workers were stopping the hostages. They were stopping us, and they began to tie wrap our hands together. And then my high hopes just fell to the floor. So as they began tie wrapping us, I refused to be tie wrapped. And one of those aid workers noticed that I didn't want to be tie wrapped, and he came up to Keith and I, and he said, "Trust me, this is for a good cause. You have to get tied to get on the helicopter." I didn't know what was going on. I saw that everybody else was tied up. Keith was tied, and I let him tie me up as well and got on that helicopter. And so at that point, 15 hostages were on the helicopter and only two guerrillas, the two commanders of the group. And as soon as that helicopter took off and it broke ground, there was just chaos, fists flying, bodies in the air. I saw a pistol in the hand of the commander who was sitting right across from me. And I was extremely worried because I thought he was going to shoot Keith. And so as I was standing there, somebody came and pushed me down and looked at me, and he said in Spanish, "We're Army, we're Army." And then I looked over and I could see where that commander was that had the pistol in his hand. And I saw that at this point he was on the ground, and there was about five of those humanitarian aid workers that were on him, just pummeling him. And at that point, when I saw that, I realized it was true. We had just been rescued, and I was counting the minutes from that point on until I was going to see my family.
You did see your family, but things changed. What's the past year since your release? What's it been like?
Well, it's been like a rebirth because everything has changed. The life as I knew it before does not exist anymore. I'm no longer married. My divorce was just finalized a month ago. And I am trying to take steps to live as healthy and as clean of a life as I can now.
Is that different from before?
Yeah, it is different from before, because before I used to take so many things for granted. That 5.5 years was really a school in appreciation.
Well, how does that exemplify itself daily, if it is daily?
Oh, it is daily. It is. I mean, look, here I am looking out this window and I can see the open sky. I can see green leaves. I can see cars going by, people walking around, and I can see freedom. And the colors are so vibrant. You know, it's like my senses have been brought to life.
Do you have to remind yourself of that? I mean, it's been a year. One would think that, you know, we all kind of tamp down to our point of stasis.
No, you know, maybe at one point I'll reach that. But for right now, you know, I'm just thankful. Every day when I get up in the morning, I'm thankful that I am laying on a mattress, that my head is on a pillow. I don't have bugs constantly stinging and biting me. That doesn't go away. And when I look around, I can't help but be happy and appreciate what I have here.
Mark Gonzalez is co-author of Out of Captivity. Check out photographs of the Americans' life in captivity at our website, theworld.org. One more note now, the FARC rebels still hold hundreds of hostages. 22 of them are Americans. Some have been kept in the jungle for 12 years. This is PRI.